Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. Martha Graham. Today, pay special attention to how this life force in you is uniquely expressed. Record and listen. Right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hello, Sandy. What are you seeing?
Well, I have been looking at a process of control around, like, if I was the right person doing the right things, then I would feel good. And if I feel bad, it means that I was not the right person doing the right things. And so
I've heard a rumor about that one, Sandy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard that sort of thing goes on.
Oh, I see.
Kind of with all of us. Yeah.
Yes. Ego is remarkably uncreative. That's one of the things I learned.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a well-stated, very important point. Yeah, no imagination, no originality, nada. Yeah, it's a program.
It's a program, yeah, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. It definitely assists in not taking it personally.
Yes.
So I have been, like, my assignment this week has been, like, what might I do today if I was willing to feel bad? And it's been really surprising what's dropped in. Like, I had a work deadline on Friday that I've been working toward for several months. And so the first thing that came to mind when I asked myself that question the past couple of days has been to rest. And I wasn't aware that resting was, like, putting me at risk of feeling bad. But
you'll turn into a lazy, lay-on-your-couch slug.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, the closest thing I have to a religion from my childhood is, like, that's the worst thing, you can commit. Mm. So I've been resting. I took, like, two naps yesterday. I don't even know what to make of it.
Let me ask you this, though. For context, did you make your deadline?
Oh yeah, it was done.
Yeah, so you've been working on this toward this for months. You completed it, and you're still not allowed to rest?
Oh well, ego wants to jump in. I mean, there's the next thing and the next thing. So no, But yes, I haven't yet died with this strategy. So
it is so crazy, isn't it? Because I can only guess that you are a hardworking, conscientious person, so that at some point you'll be able to rest and enjoy your life. Or is it just simply you won't feel bad?
Yes, presumably there's this kind of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, like when everything is done and okay, yes.
Yeah, and you've seen through that little fiction as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. I never get to the pot of gold when I'm raising.
Never, no gold for Sandy, nope.
To the extent that there is the gold.
Sorry about that.
A cat hopping onto my lap while I'm working and reminding me, like, oh, still human, still in a body. Look at that beautiful fur of the cat. Like, yeah, that's the gold is always kind of there.
Yes, always in the moment when we're present to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is a lot to bring conscious awareness to, isn't it? That changed the entire rest of your life.
Yes. very exciting.
All right. Very exciting. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Oh, I love that the way the assignment is stated. Sherry, what would I be willing to do if I was what would I do if I was willing to feel bad? What a way to go up against conditioned mind. And to see that what drops in when we open to that inquiry is just so practical, so helpful in revealing what conditioning is preventing us, the trap that it has us in. You just keep doing one thing after the other, and you don't get to rest.
Yeah. It's going up against that is life-changing and life-saving.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll kill you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. How are you?
Good. Who's in?
This is Diane.
Hey, Diane. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing that my practice commitment is really fun to do, and yet ego, of course, is telling me that even though I've done all the assignments and seen a lot, it doesn't create a magical, life-changing situation moment by moment, so it's not good enough. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, and it's just perfect, isn't it? I mean, it's that what we were just talking about, right? It just raises the stakes. Okay, well, if you're not blissfully happy every single second of your life without making any effort whatsoever, well, just give up.
And I was also seeing that I didn't fully understand or didn't see. I also enjoyed doing the working with the quote from yesterday, and made some good recordings about that. And I wasn't completely seeing the connection between that and my daily practice with control. So I don't know if you had a few words to say about that.
Oh, well, did this is just what I would project. So what Martha was pointing at is that authentic nature, who you really are, what you are authentically, is animating you and living you and uniquely, right? So you're the only Diane we got. And so there's that quickening. There's that when you're present to authentic nature, to what's animating you, you feel it, and then here comes conditioning. Here comes ego. No.
Okay, so you're saying it's about ego control?
All control is ego control. Ego is the only thing that wants to control, attempts to control, and wants a person to believe control is real and possible. So that's all. Like, there is no control issue in life, in authenticity. So anytime we're in the realm of control, we know we're identified with ego.
Okay, which of course
isn't
that good?
Isn't that good
of this month? Yes. It's simple.
It's simple,
but difficult.
Exactly.
Like all of practice.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And so it would say, you don't need to do anything. You should just, if life is really going to work for you, well, it's just got to magically be perfect all the time. No matter, this is the unsaid part, no matter what I, ego, do to mess you up.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm the wrong person.
Okay. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there are a few more recordings, huh?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you.
So Sherry, what I was seeing about that is something so powerful that the content doesn't matter. That if I can identify a process of control, however confusing it is, am I out of control? Is ego controlling me? But that what you just said, that control is all, it is ego's deal. So it's only sufficient that I bring awareness to the fact that I'm in that process. Because then the exit is something we've also practiced.
Yes. Yeah. Is that, I'm here getting a lot of background noise.
Yes, there's construction happening right outside my window.
Okay, very good. All right. So, yes, that is really important because it's like fear, worry, anxiety, those kinds of things that we can say unequivocally, those are ego. Only ego has that experience. If I am experiencing any of those things, it is because I have been taken over by ego. I'm in relationship with ego. I am looking to ego. So it's very helpful, as Diane pointed out, it doesn't automatically thing, but it will, because that awareness is what we'll practice with. And as you say, we know then how to extricate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Julian in Brooklyn.
Well, hello, Julian. Perfectly. What's going on? Oh, what are you seeing?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had a couple things. I'll pick the smallest of the two, though, which is that I'm seeing the voices in a very direct fashion, you know, as far as control is concerned. You know, just so beautifully laid out. You can't do that. You'll never do that. Impossible choices, you know, just no chance of winning.
It's not going to work. Just give up.
You might as well give up right now. But what I find really interesting in addition to that is that there's also this kind of indirect control, and I was wondering if you could speak to this. I'm noticing that some of the voices, they're not so clear. They could just be chatter in the mind or something I heard on the TV or, you know, complete, just numb, like a flooding of numbing stimulation. and I was just curious to hear you speak to that, because sometimes when I go to record about it, it's hard to say what it is I'm recording about. It's just general, just a general numbing stimulus.
Well, in that case, what you can record about is how it feels. So people, sometimes people will come to practice, and because we are all, as Martha pointed out, constructed uniquely, people will say, I don't hear voices. Now, sometimes they don't hear voices simply because they don't know the difference between, in quotes, I'm thinking and what we call voices, that somebody's actually talking to you inside your head. But there are people who actually don't. They see pictures. Or it's their very kinesthetic. Is that they everything just happens through the body. And so what I say to them is, all right, what does it mean? What does that feeling mean? And then they can say exactly what it means. Okay, so those two things can often happen for a person. You'll hear voices. Then when you really catch on to it, ego just kind of drops down a notch and does the raised eyebrow, kind of shakes the head. No, you really are the wrong person. And so we bring conscious awareness to that through, okay, well, how I feel when that happens is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you can get that same sense of how ego is controlling you.
Oh, that's so helpful. Thank you, because I look at it so closely, and then the language of ego shifts to an abstract realm, and it is, you're right, it's kinesthetic, it's visual, and I go, wow, ooh, geez, I don't know. But the feeling is clear as day, so I can record about that.
Very good. Very good.
Sherry, thank you so much. Thank you both so much.
You are very welcome. You go happy.
Okay, you as well. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Julian. Sure, I'm going to bring on the next caller while I try to mute Julian, okay? Hang on a second.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. Aloha. This is Laura.
Good morning, Laura. What are you seeing?
Well, I am seeing how easy it is to train in some ways if I'm just willing to pay attention.
You have articulated the entire deal right there.
Okay, bye.
Required to do. Pay attention.
Yes. And so I have noticed what happens when I don't pay attention, when ego takes over. And I have noticed what happens when I do pay attention and remember my commitment and follow through on it. And I definitely know which one I prefer, which space I prefer to live in.
Yes, yes. It's day and night. It's light room and dark room, right? It's suffering and happiness. It's really very, very clear, isn't it? As soon as we catch on to it. And then it's so beautiful, isn't it? So I go back to something the Buddha supposedly said, because he didn't seem to have a lot of moral approaches to things. He just simply said, if you follow your heart, you'll be happy. But we can suffer for as long as we want to suffer. It's not an issue. We're the only ones really suffering, right? But as soon as we want to stop suffering, we can stop, which is what you just said. All we have to do is pay attention to, where am I? Am I where I want to live? Good, then pay attention to that. Am I not where I want to live? Good, then pay attention to that and know how to get out of it.
So one of the things that I've noticed as I'm doing this practice is, and this is actually I've noticed this over the last several weeks, is my emotions are super close to the surface, and I'm weeping more and I'm laughing more.
Yeah, and my encouragement, which I think you're already doing, is pay attention. And don't make it mean anything, because ego is right there ready to interpret everything for us and give it an ego-friendly meaning.
Oh, I have so noticed that invitation over and over again. Let's tell a story about this.
Let's interpret that. And instead, let's go up into the head, into conditioned mind, and noodle about that. Figure that out, right? And instead, when we notice, we just say something along the lines of, well, that's interesting, isn't it? And just keep right on noticing. No thinking required.
That's a good sign.
You know, in another retreat that you and I participate in, people have been talking about don't think, just do. Mm-hmm. Right? In strict awareness practice, it's don't think, just be. Just be aware. Oh, interesting. Those are all the Zen noises. Is that so? It's kind of like talking to a small child, right? We don't have to take it on. We don't have to believe it. We don't have to, right? We're just there paying attention, unconditionally loving, accepting of everything.
Just being present.
just being present, exactly. Being present. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Well, mahalo and aloha. Go
aloha.
Happy.
Aloha.
I know you've tried to offer me go happy in Hawaiian, but that's more complex. So will you just do that?
Oh, it's complex for me too. So
Okay, then. Go happy. We'll go happy. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura. Sherry, it's such an interesting Zen twist also, that the willingness to pay attention, you can train in anything if you're willing to pay attention, and the training is the paying attention.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, it's just that one, it's the paradox that confounds conditioned mind.
Yes. Yes. And it takes me to what we were talking about, I think, yesterday, with the get out of bed and pat the top of your head three times, or bow when you go through a door. That's what people are talking about when they get so excited about something like that, right? Yes. We don't have to take on what ego says we need to train with. We're just training to be present, right?
Yes.
It can be any little teeny. You know, one of the things that people do with mindful eating is set the fork down after you've taken a bite, make gusho before you pick it up and take another bite. Perfect. If you can do that, you're going to be pretty present through a meal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because you're training in paying attention. What you're really training is awareness. You're actually, within quotes, doing what you just said. Don't think, just be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Attention, attending to awareness in presence.
Absolutely.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller? Hello?
I can hear somebody.
Yeah, but they can't seem to be heard.
Good morning. This is Kim calling from Vashon.
Oh,
hello, Kim.
I'm here. Good morning.
What
can
are
you
seeing?
Kim.
Yep, perfectly.
Hello.
Hey,
hello. I'm here. Hello. There I am. Okay. Well, can you hear me now? You can hear me now, yeah?
Yes.
Hello?
Right from the very beginning, Kim.
Hello. Okay.
Ashwini?
Well, so
can Kim not hear us? Is that what's going on?
She should be able to hear us. Sherry.
No,
Okay. What are you seeing, Kim?
I can hear you. I can. From the very beginning, I see that, and I see this a lot, the double reverse projection happening, and I talk about this often because it happens often. But my issue with control was
okay.
With my son,
that's funny.
And
yeah.
My practice
okay.
Rejecting advocacy
start over.
With me.
Kim, you just blipped out. I could not hear what you were saying.
Yeah, so the issue with control is with your son.
Right, and my practice movement has been to project adequacy toward him.
Okay.
So what I see happening is that I have to do that with myself first before I can project adequacy onto him.
Well, we could just take projection out of the issue, okay? We could just drop the notion of projection altogether.
Okay.
The projection is actually inadequacy, right? And so what is required is for you to be inadequacy And then you will realize that everyone is inadequacy.
Mm-hmm.
So the way, if we approach projection the way you're laying it out, then it's more like something that you are manufacturing, and that will never work. Kim?
We seem to have lost her, Sherry.
Yeah, so I'm here. Can you say more about that? Oh, no. Okay, wait, I'm here. Hello?
Yeah,
we can hear you, Kim.
I'm here. Okay, I just said say more about the manufacturing of projecting adequacy, or the manufacturing of adequacy.
There's not a lot more to say. We're either having an experience or we're not. So if what I deeply believe is that the world is a hostile place and it's unkind, but I try to project kindness onto the world, then I'm looking to ego for its definition of everything and attempting to make up what ego is telling me is the right way to be so that I can project that. And that whole process is happening in the world of ego. It's never going to actually go anywhere. But when you have an experience for yourself, when you are living in adequacy, not an idea of adequacy, but an experience of adequacy, then you will realize that everyone is adequate, including your son, because he's simply another everyone.
That's a big light bulb for me.
Great.
Thank you.
You are very, very welcome.
Gasho. Thank you, Ashwini.
Gasho.
Thanks, Kim. And, Sherry, it looks like we could squeeze in one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in Kent.
Well, hello, Colin. What are you seeing?
I was looking at being controlled around food, over-shopping, overeating, overgrowing, and with my the daily practice, just checking in with the mentor and getting into conversation with the mentor, and I just found it just sort of kind of freed me from so much negativity, really, sort of allowed so much goodness to come in, really. And today, really, just an awful lot of appreciation that I was seeing. I just feel that normally there's this conversation of ego going on about how terrible everything is, and I was just able to receive all the wonderful things at meal times and all the beautiful food.
Yes. So, Colin, this is big. This is really big, right? Because a minute ago we were talking about the various orientations of ego. And one good description of ego is loss, lack, and deprivation. Okay? So along with fear, anxiety, control, loss, lack, and deprivation. And so, yes, something like a pandemic and all of what's going on in the world is a giant meal for ego, right? Because it can generate out of fear of loss, out of fear of deprivation. Now we were just talking with Kim about projection. Boy, is ego projecting that, right? It just takes its orientation and just smears it all over a human being. And so what you have been doing in turning your attention to the mentor is simply stopping that process. Because the only way ego can do that to us is if we give it attention, if we get into its conversation, right? And you're not doing that. You're turning your attention to presence, which the mentor is, right? To wisdom, love, and compassion, to the unconditional. And so, yes, that's the life experience you have, even in the midst of a pandemic.
Yes. Yes, yes, even more so, actually, seeing, it's just that that redirecting the attention. I think instead of sort of tussling with ego and fighting with it, it's to be able to redirect your attention, and it just everything seems to sort of really relaxing and letting go, and just... being able to receive everything, a great appreciation today. That was the thing I was focusing on, appreciation of the human being, and all the like at meal times, all the lovely food that he does that I hadn't really appreciated that before. There was always this conversation, all this negativity going on, and just to sort of receiving that today. It was really
isn't
lovely.
Isn't that good to see, Colin? Isn't that good to see that process was going on even when there was nothing untoward in the world, right? There was plenty of food. You had plenty of food. You could afford plenty of food. It was in the stores. Everything was just fine. And ego was still devoted to keeping you from appreciating what you have, which is its be-all, end-all, right? And the other thing that you said that's so important I want to underline is tussling with ego is simply giving it attention. And so it doesn't care if you listen to it and believe it and do what it says, or you argue with it. It doesn't matter. All it wants is the attention. And so what you're doing instead, which is just dropping it and turning attention to the mentor, to presence, then we wind up in receiving and appreciation and enjoyment and all of those things with life.
That's right, and I think one of the things that helped with that is the reminder that it's not about the content. I'm just doing my daily practice of redirecting the attention and not actually trying to achieve anything on the content level. And that's been part of the reassurance from the mentor, is that I'm not have to do that. It's just the practice of redirecting the attention, and that's been really helpful. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Just do my daily practice. The practice is to attend to appreciation. Okay, here we go. Attending to appreciation, and our whole life changes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right. It really.
Well, thank
does.
You.
Oh, yeah. Thank you both.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Colin. Thank you. I'm glad thank you're you. Well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. And Terry, that brings us to the end of the show. Our assignment for today, do your daily practice. Through our eyes, the universe is perceiving itself. Through our ears, the universe is listening to its harmonies. We are the witness through which the universe becomes conscious of its glory, of its magnificence. Alan Watts. Today, practice being the eyes and ears of the universe, witnessing it, our glory.
Very fun. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.